And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the, what is today, Monday, the 31st of July, 2017 edition of the American Awakening. I am your host, Michael Herzog, and yes, I will be with you for the next 2 hours. The first thing I want to do is to thank Eric. I want to give a shout out to Eric, the Freedom Screamer, for subbing my show for the past 2+ weeks. I was not in a location of which to do a show, and Eric proudly stepped up to the plate in my absence. So again, I want to thank you, Eric. And by the way, I tuned into a couple of those shows, and I thought you did a really stellar job. So thank you very much, my friend, and I'll be in touch with you. I want to put the word out to the listening audience. Folks, you've been listening to him for a little bit over 2 weeks, and I'm just curious, would you like to hear him on a regular basis with a slot on this network? I would be curious, so if you'd call in and give me your report on that at 800-313-9443 at some point in the broadcast, I would absolutely love to hear from you. Haven't heard from you in a long time. I've actually kind of been out of touch. I've been in a couple of locales over the past couple of weeks. I spent 10 days back in the, well, in the wilderness back in the Midwest. I was not able to broadcast. I was so far out in the middle of nowhere that I didn't even have cell phone service. It was very difficult to communicate with anybody, but it was a commitment that I had to fulfill. So that said, then I turned around and went back to Arizona, and I cleaned up a few loose ends that I had back there, and right now I'm broadcasting from the network in Round Rock, Texas. So it's a pleasure to be back. I'm happy to be here, happy to be talking to you again. Now, a couple of announcements before I get into tonight's show. I had a note on the door when I walked in here from Evelyn in Maine, and it says that she'd sent me an email, and evidently she has got some a lot of information on Tom LaCavera that we don't know about. And so I tried to call her before the program. She didn't answer the phone, but there's a note here in her email that says, let's see. She says, if you like, I can stay up late tonight and speak to you after your show. I'm not a comfortable caller and can easily miss out on some important details. So, Evelyn, I will call you probably about 30 minutes after the show. That will be 12:30 p.m. your time. If you're not awake, that's okay. Don't pick up the phone. I'll try again tomorrow. Now, that said, speaking of being out of the loop, I received what seemed a pretty, kind of ominous and serious message from Susan Lindau. And I've said in previous shows that at some point in time I was going to have Susan up on the air. Well, she sent me a message via Skype, and although I'm not quite sure of the particulars of the message, it seems she wants this message out to all of the patriots as soon as possible. So I'm going to bring her up on the program tomorrow night, sort of, I don't know, in the blind, and she can bring us all up to speed, including me. So I hadn't had a chance to talk to her at all. I just got a message from her, and she had sent me, I guess, a letter that she had written to Jeff Sessions. And I kind of pondered whether I was going to read that to you tonight or just save it till tomorrow night and let her explain it and maybe read it. So I think I'll do that. That said, let's move on. Criminals. Investigating criminals. Now, I ask you, how can the result be justice? And in the outcome, under our current corrupt system, who does the so-called justice benefit? Well, the criminals, of course. I'm going to share something with you from our website, RBN. The dots between Imran Awan, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and Seth Rich begin to connect. Now, as I said, I've been out of the loop for a couple of weeks. I don't know how much reporting has been done on this. I will say that I have heard both Rush Limbaugh, mainstream, and also Sean Hannity talking about this, not in the context that I'm going to give you, but anyway, it's coming out in little bits and pieces on mainstream. So the source out of this is the Duran. The Gateway Pundit reported that earlier this week, the Washington, D.C. area detective Rod Wheeler, remember him? That's the guy that was hired as a private investigator for this Seth Rich case. He tweeted out about the high-profile arrest of former DNC chair IT specialist Imran Awan. Now, I had reported on Imran, it was maybe a month ago, and this is the guy, remember the laptop that was stolen that the D.C. police recovered, and that Debbie Wasserman Schultz, which I believe I played the clip, was telling the D.C. police chief that there would be consequences if the D.C. police didn't turn over this laptop to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And, of course, that's not their protocols. They didn't do it. But Rod Wheeler told his Twitter followers that there may be a connection to Imran Awan's arrest and other local cases. Now, the other local case Wheeler refers to in his tweet is the unsolved Seth Rich murder. And what he said was, let me scroll down here. Wasserman Schultz aide arrested trying to leave the country. Now, that just happened the other day. A senior House Democratic aide confirmed that Awan was still employed by Wasserman Schultz as of Tuesday morning, which means that when she showed up in front of the D.C. police chief, he was still working for her. Rod Wheeler goes on to say, follow the arrest, and he tweeted this out, folks, follow the arrest of Awan closely. Connect the dots to other cases, hint, hint. Just the beginning. Stay tuned. Now, WorldNet Daily is now reporting on Seth Rich attending a party with Washington, D.C. IT workers the night of his death. Well, let's see. If Imran Awan was still working for Debbie Wasserman Schultz up till Tuesday, then it's a distinct possibility that Imran Awan attended this same party with Seth Rich. Is this the reason that he was caught trying to flee the country because there's something sinister going on here? Is Imran Awan the suspect? Is he the killer? Well, let's read on. During the course of his investigation of Rich's mysterious murder, Rod Wheeler claims that he learned something peculiar that he hadn't heard before. Rich attended a party with numerous IT workers the night he was killed, and after the party, Rich went to Lou's City Bar, the last known location where he was seen before his murder. Wheeler said he was determined to learn more about the IT party and who was in attendance, but all of his questions have gone unanswered. Seth attended that party, and I wanted to know who else was at that party, he said, but I could never find out. When I went back to ask other people who should have known who was at that party, these were people who were close to Seth, and they told me, you don't need to know who was at that party because it had nothing to do with his death. Well, uncovering more details about the attendees of the party is essential in the Rich homicide investigation, Wheeler contended. He was at the party before he went to the bar. What do you do in a murder investigation? Is you work backward. You want to trace the victim's steps as far back as you can. Who was that person around the day before? As far back as you can, he said. What was interesting is, when I am told as an investigator that I don't need to talk to people who were at the party, it makes you wonder why. And as WorldNet Daily reported last week, federal agents arrested Awan, the IT aide of Wasserman Schultz, and the top suspect in a major Democratic hacking scandal at Dulles Airport in Virginia as he tried to flee the U.S. and fly to the Mideast. Now, Awan's arrest came just one day after reports emerged that the FBI had seized numerous smashed hard drives. Does that ring a bell, folks? What about the 8 hard drives that were smashed by Hillary Clinton and her cronies? They had seized numerous smashed hard drives and other computer equipment from Awan's previous residence. Now, the former House IT staffer is suspected of stealing sensitive information from the office computers of numerous Democratic Party lawmakers and sending that data to a secret server. Awan and his family members, all of whom worked as IT professionals for members of Congress, were banned from the House network February 2, 2017 by the House Sergeant at Arms. Despite the rapidly escalating scandal that potentially involves multiple federal crimes, Awan had been kept on the payroll of the former DNC chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who, circumvented the ban by having him advise her office. Let us not forget the dead investigator that showed up on her shore, in her district, In the wake of WikiLeaks posting damaging internal emails during the 2016 election, Wasserman Schultz resigned from her post as the DNC chairwoman and blamed the scandal on the alleged hacking by the Russians. After the emails became public, Donna Brazile, who served as interim DNC chairwoman following Wasserman Schultz's resignation, initially claimed the messages were fabricated. And then she alleged Russians stole the emails. The FBI requested access to the DNC's server to determine who was responsible for the breach. According to former FBI Director James Comey, the DNC refused to grant access to its server. Now, Iwan reportedly possessed the password to the iPad Wasserman Schultz used when the DNC emails were provided to WikiLeaks. Meanwhile, some have speculated that Rich, who worked in the voter analysis division of the DNC and was brutally murdered on July 10, 2016, on a street near his Washington home, was an inside source who leaked party insider emails to WikiLeaks during the 2016 presidential race. Conservative 101 reports how Hannity and Geraldo Rivera are now vocally connecting Iwan, Schultz, and Rich. Well, now you have a possible suspect. Here's the corrupt IT guy standing on the shoulders of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, arrested at the airport, trying to flee, charged with stealing hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars. That was a quote by Geraldo Rivera. What if he was the source to WikiLeaks? He has all the passwords. He has all the information. This is a huge story. Everyone assumed it was the Russians who hacked the DNC and then gave WikiLeaks the emails. That's another quote by Rivera. For a long time, people thought that Seth Rich was the person who leaked information to WikiLeaks. Seth Rich was then murdered in a mysterious botched robbery in which nothing was stolen. Assange, this is according to Sean Hannity, told me personally five times that it wasn't a state or Russia. If you can prove disgruntled Democrats were the leakers and not the Russians, as Julian Assange has said, doesn't that blow the whole thing out of the water? Again, another quote by Hannity. Right now, I'm going to go ahead and let my board operator play the clip of Sean Hannity talking to Geraldo Rivera and also another pundit that I don't recall her name. I apologize. Go ahead, Mike.
At large, Geraldo Rivera, conservative commentator, Monica Crowley. Monica, this is what I was asking her. I'm a little torn. I think the double standard is outrageous. The evidence in all of these cases overwhelming. Republicans are in control of these committees. Why aren't they doing their job there? And why is it so hard to get repeal and replace done at this point?
Yeah, two separate questions, Sean, but they all get to the same point, which is that when Democrats are in control of the executive branch, which includes the Department of Justice, they have no problem stonewalling, deflecting, and burying investigations that may, in fact, be damaging to them. In this case, now we have a Republican who's heading up the Department of Justice. We've got a Republican president. And all we are asking is for full, fair, and honest investigations of all of the situations that you just laid out. The point of being in control, the point of having the party in control, is so that we can move forward with these kinds of investigations. When it comes to your question about health care reform, I think a lot of the American people are incredibly outraged and annoyed that for 8 years the Republicans have had a chance to get their act together and produce something that was ready to go on day one, as they have promised us. This has been an incredibly frustrating process, I know, for those on Capitol Hill, but moreover for the American people who have been suffering under the coercion of Obamacare now for many years. They want relief. And the fact that this party is now in control of both houses of the Congress as well as the White House cannot get this done. No fault of the president, of course. And I know that this is difficult. This is hurting cats, Sean. But they have had a long time to get their act together. And if they don't, believe me, there will be hell to pay, including possibly losing control of the House.
You know, there's such a fundamental unfairness, Geraldo, in all of this when you lay out the facts, if we believe in the Constitution, equal application of the law. And then there's a part of me torn. I don't want the double standard to exist, But in my heart, I believe if the president accomplishes his agenda, that that's the key for the American people ignoring all the other noise.
I think, Sean, that what we should ignore right now is everything but this story of Imran Awan, this 37-year-old Pakistani IT expert who has been at the side of Debbie Wasserman Schultz through her entire tenure as the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee,
overpaid,
trying to destroy these computers, arrested at Dulles Airport last night, trying to flee the country. His brother and some associates and his family have already fled the country. What are they trying to destroy? Why was Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a congresswoman, why was she putting pressure on Capitol Police to get her computers back? They seized those computers. Here, just take this quick scenario. We know that one of the big scandals is that her emails were leaked, her emails that showed that she and the DNC were favoring Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton. WikiLeaks published those emails. What was WikiLeaks' source? Everyone has assumed that it was the Russians who gave Wiki, who hacked the DNC, and then gave WikiLeaks that information.
He told me personally five times it wasn't a state or Russia.
Well, maybe he was telling you the truth.
Wait a minute. WikiLeaks has not been proven wrong on their information in 11 years, not one time.
Well, now you have a possible suspect. Here's the corrupt IT guy standing at the shoulder of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, arrested at the airport trying to flee, charged with stealing hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars. What if he was the source to WikiLeaks? He has all the passcodes. He has the passwords.
Wait a minute, I think it's deeper than that.
This is a huge story.
Here's my theory, real quick. My theory is maybe Debbie Wasserman Schultz didn't want to be exposed, which is why they smashed the hard drives. She didn't want, and remember what happened on the eve, because she knows she colluded against Bernie Sanders. She knows the primary was rigged.
That's the easy part, that they colluded against Bernie Sanders. What if they were the source for WikiLeaks? What if the whole of the Russiagate story now hinges on this now investigation? The guy's now charged.
Bingo.
His passport has been seized. His family's already fled. He's got an ankle monitor on. What if this investigation really shows who was the source of that?
I've been talking about this all day. And with some important people here today, if you can prove disgruntled Democrats, in fact, were the leakers and not the Russians, as Julian Assange has said, believe them, don't believe them, I don't care whether you do or not. Doesn't that blow the whole thing out of the water?
I think that this investigation into this Pakistani fellow who tried to flee the country and was arrested at the airport, I mean, don't bury that. That's a huge thing. Her key IT guy was seized trying to escape the country, and now he's charged with these bank frauds and so forth. But what does he know? Why were they trying to destroy those computers? I think that this is the lead. I checked the New York Times website before I came on. No mention of this. I think
None.
That this tomorrow will be a huge story. Congratulations to the Daily Caller's investigative
Agreed.
Group. This is a big, big story. And where it stops, I mean, her hysteria, her worry, her deep, profound concern, let me say it that way,
real quick, Monica,
to get her computers back, I want to know why.
Yeah,
why?
And you know what, Sean? Regardless of what the source was, and I hope that we get to the bottom of it, but the bottom line is what we have learned from whether it's a hacking, whether a disgruntled Democrat got in and released these, is that the DNC was incredibly corrupt and that the Clinton campaign actually won the nomination based on
so
corrupt
true.
Methods.
Imagine if Donald
that's
Trump did
what
this.
That's what we've learned, and that's the story.
All right,
what if they
roll.
Gave it
Great.
To WikiLeaks? What if this guy gave it
all
to
right.
WikiLeaks?
Well,
what if Russia wasn't
tomorrow?
Involved in the loop
I
at all?
I promise you, this, and look at the similarities to Hillary, smashing her devices. But by the way, she only wanted one device. No SIM cards, deleting 30,000, acid washing, bleach bit. These people get away with unbelievable obstruction, which has been my point. And we need equal justice under the law.
Correct.
Thank you both.
Criminals investigating criminals. It's going to get better. We'll be back after the break, folks. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick around. More to come.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, folks, we're back. Michael Herzog coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, in the network. The premise of this show? Criminals investigating criminals. Now, one has to remember that a federal investigator was murdered in Debbie Wasserman Schultz's home congressional district, washed up on the shore suspiciously. The death was passed off as a suicide until the coroner determined that he died as a result of blunt force trauma from behind. Now, the prosecutor was looking into DNC voter fraud. This would have brought in the Seth Rich murder. Wasserman Schultz, the former DNC chair, resigned in this time frame. Now, why is this likely to go nowhere? Well, because it looks as if Stephen Wasserman, assistant U.S. attorney, and, oh, by the way, Debbie's brother, is in charge of investigating and possibly prosecuting Imran Awan. Not only criminals investigating criminals, but a little nepotism being thrown in just for good measure. The term diplomatic immunity in this day and age, folks, has taken on a whole new meaning. In these interesting times, it's criminal immunity. But let's not stop there. Let's take a look at this little gem. Judge clears military contract in the sprawling Burn Pits case. This was by Tim Ryan. Remember how Donald Trump tried to invoke the temporary Muslim ban in seven countries, and it was overturned by the Ninth Circuit Court, and then it came up again in Hawaii, and I believe that's the Ninth Circuit as well. But yet the day before that judge ruled against it, Barack Obama, who, by the way, went to college with him, flew over and had dinner with him the night before. Well, there's a couple of corrupt judges for you. But how about the federal judge in Maryland on Wednesday? Now, that was on July, I believe it was the 19th, dismissed a massive collection of cases that was brought against a government contractor by veterans and their family members who say the military's use of open burn pits at bases during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan left them with serious illnesses. The case against Kellogg Brown and Root, that's a government contractor and former Halliburton subsidiary, remember Halliburton, and Dick Cheney was involved with them, arrived in Maryland federal court in 2009 when the judicial panel on multi-district litigation sent 63 different complaints to the court for consolidation. Of the 63 complaints filed in federal courts, at least 44 sought a nationwide class certification. The complaints all made the same basic claims that Kellogg, Brown, and Root ran massive burn pits at operating bases in Afghanistan and Iraq into which its employees dumped tires, trucks, and even medical waste. The resulting towers of smoke left the soldiers on the bases with chronic respiratory and gastrointestinal illnesses, as did the contractor's alleged failure to provide clean water to the troops on the ground, according to a class action complaint filed in the circuit court for Montgomery County, Maryland by Alan Metzger and Paul Parker back in 2009. The massive litigation survived Kellogg Brown and Root's initial motion to dismiss, and U.S. District Judge Roger Titus even granted limited discovery in the case in 2010 before he eventually granted another one of Kellogg Brown and Root's motions to dismiss the case in 2013. Relying on a two-part test, the Fourth Circuit handed down for lower courts to evaluate the actions of government contractors, and Titus found in 2013 that it was the military that made the decision to use the burn pits, and that looking into the choice would require the court to analyze the military's decision-making during wartime, a political question not appropriate for judicial review, according to Titus' most recent opinion. The group of plaintiffs appealed Titus' first dismissal, with the Fourth Circuit agreeing in 2014 that the record at that point in the case was too thin to support his decision. The appeals court sent the case back to Titus, where the parties began the enormous task of conducting even limited discovery in the case, and Titus wrote in the opinion. We'll be back after the break, and I'll continue with this. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the network in Round Rock, Texas. Be right back. Probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell, can't bring myself to do what it is.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the network in Round Rock, Texas. I'll get back to this in just a moment. The premise of this show, criminals, investigating criminals, with a little nepotism thrown in. Steve Wasserman, investigating the Seth Rich case? Steve Wasserman, what the federal investigator winds up dead on Debbie Wasserman. Oh, Imran Awan, I'm sorry. Yes, Steve Wasserman is maybe prosecuting that case. Just happens to be the brother of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who Imran Awan worked for. Interesting. Let's go to B.C. in Pennsylvania. B.C., you're on with Michael. How you doing?
Just fine, Mike. A fabulous program, as always.
Well, thank you.
I love listening to you and to John, and Eric was great very much, too. I like listening to him. I just wondered, on Friday night at 10 o'clock Eastern time, when that program was to come on, RBN went dead for 2 hours and then came on clear again. When I called in the 800 number, Verizon said, "There's no one there. Please leave a message." Do you know what happened on Friday night?
Which Friday was this, BC?
This last Friday.
Last Friday? Mike, do you know what happened with that? Why don't you get on the mic and tell BC?
Our server that runs the streams, there's a log that is accumulated over time, and it filled up and froze the software on our server. That's all it was. We've got it fixed now.
Oh, okay. Well, it was a technical glitch, BC. I wasn't here, but evidently it was a glitch on the server or whatever. I apologize for that.
Well, we... Anyway, we hope Eric comes on again. He did very good.
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, I put it out there. Eric has told me off the air that, you know, he would like to have a show, and I was just curious about the input from the audience. I tuned into a show or two of his, and I have to tell you that Eric, he sounds like a younger guy. I've never met him personally, but he's very passionate about what he believes, you know, and passionate carries a lot of weight with me. So I was kind of curious what the audience input
was. Well, we were listening, and he did very well, and he's very clear and precise, just like you and John. He was pleasant to listen to, and, well, we hope he gets on again sometime.
Well, I'll have him up as a guest, but we'll see what happens. He may very well get a weekend show or something. I don't know. We'll see. Thanks, though. Anything else you want to add, BC? Okay.
That's it.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Keep on going.
Thank you, sir.
We love you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, criminals investigating criminals. So Kellogg Brown & Root turns over 5.8 million pages of documents during discovery, and the parties took 34 depositions as they tried to prove their points, according to the ruling. Kellogg Brown & Root revived its motion to dismiss the case in February, arguing again that it involved a political question that was not within the court's jurisdiction to hear. The company also argued that the massive discovery in the case showed that Titus had originally believed that the military, rather than the contractor, was responsible for the decision to use the burn pits. Now, the plaintiffs countered by saying Kellogg Brown & Root's agreements with the government gave it the freedom to consider how to carry out their required tasks, and that holding the company liable for the burn pits would not mean questioning a military decision, as the judge had previously found. But in an opinion that reaches similar conclusions to those in his 2013 decision, Titus again sided with the contractor this week. And after detailing the litany of evidence and the testimony that came before him in the sprawling litigation, Titus found again that the military made the decision to use the burn pits and where to put them, and that looking into those choices would be outside of his jurisdiction based on the political question doctrine. What a scapegoat. Having chosen to assert broad class action claims that ultimately resulted in the creation of this multi-district litigation, the plaintiffs must stand on the centrality of their common issue of fact, i.e., the use of open burn pits, Titus wrote in Wednesday's 81-page opinion. As discussed at length above, the use of open burn pits was a quintessential military decision made by the military, not KBR, and was a decision driven by the exigencies of war. The political question doctrine prevents courts from considering cases that present questions that can only be answered through the political process rather than through the finding of law. So Titus acknowledged there is some evidence that KBR had a certain amount of control over the burn pits, but that the military made most of the key policy and operational decisions. If he were to evaluate the claims against the contractor, he would be digging into military judgments made during wartime, the judge found. Titus said that while he is not unsympathetic to the veterans' claims, many of them have remedies beyond winning a judgment in court, including a bill in the U.S. House of Representatives that addresses people harmed by the burn pits. He noted that the veterans' claims are very general and do not point to a specific mistake by a specific KBR employee, and has been the case in other suits that were successful against military contractors. The allegations made by the plaintiffs are anything but discreet, Titus wrote. They are not specific to a particular time, date, or place, but relate primarily to the use of open burn pits and the furnishing of water in Iraq and Afghanistan, stretching over a period as long as a decade. Baltimore attorney Susan Burke, who represents the plaintiffs in the case, said in an email to Courthouse News that her clients will be appealing the decision. Joe Rice, an attorney and co-founder of the firm Motley Rice, serves as co-counsel with Burke, and KBR did not respond Thursday to a request for comment on the opinion. This is just one case. There are so many cases it would take me months to go through. Actually, years to go through, folks. But we see this happening over and over again, and now it's just basically in your face. Everything's in our face now, including making a $110 billion deal with the Saudi Arabians on a weapons deal, and also making a $20 billion contract with the Qatar, who Saudi Arabia has threatened. So we're funding both sides of a possible war. That used to be done behind the scenes, behind closed doors with the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. Now the United States government does it, well, with impunity. Oh, isn't that wonderful? But let's move on here, okay, because I'm not done yet. Well, let's see. Okay. That's two. Let's go to the coup de grace, shall we? Robert Mueller, fixer, joker, political hack. Special prosecutor Mueller is a political hack. Mueller managed in a dozen years as FBI director to stay above the partisan fray, carefully cultivating a rare reputation for independence and fairness, so let's fact-check the times. How about let's go back, all the way back, to the anthrax frame-up. Mueller presided over the incredibly flawed anthrax investigation. The U.S. Government Accountability Office says the FBI's investigation was flawed and inaccurate. The investigation was so bogus that a senator called for an independent review and assessment of how the FBI handled its investigation in that anthrax case. The head of the FBI's anthrax investigation says the whole thing was a sham. He says that the FBI higher-ups greatly obstructed and impeded the investigation, that there were politically motivated communication embargoes from FBI headquarters. Does that ring a bell? Does that sound familiar? Can you think James Comey? It just goes on and on and on. Moreover, the anthrax, and oh, and by the way, remember, Mueller was appointed to look into this Russian hacking thing, right? And Comey wouldn't testify until he had a meeting with Mueller. These people are all in the big club, and we aren't in it, folks. The head of the FBI's anthrax investigation says the whole thing was a sham. Well, moreover, the anthrax investigation head said that the FBI framed scientist Bruce Ivins. On July 6, 2006, the FBI's anthrax investigation FBI plaintiff provided a whistleblower report of mismanagement to the FBI's deputy director pursuant to Title V, United States Code Section 2303, which noted the FBI's fingering of Bruce Ivins as the anthrax mailer and the FBI's subsequent efforts to railroad the prosecution of Ivins in the face of daunting exculpatory evidence. Following the announcement of its circumstantial case against Ivins, defendants, DOJ, and FBI crafted an elaborate perception management campaign to bolster their assertion of Ivins' guilt. These efforts included press conferences and highly selective evidentiary presentations, which were replete with material omissions. In other words, Mueller presided over the attempt to frame an innocent man. Unsure about assassination of U.S. citizens living on U.S. soil, rather than saying, of course not, Mueller said that he wasn't sure whether Obama had the right to assassinate Americans living on American soil. Constitutional expert Jonathan Turley commented at this time, one would hope that the FBI director would have a handle on a few details guiding his responsibilities, including whether he can kill citizens without a charge or a court order. He appeared unclear whether he had the power under the Obama kill doctrine, or in the very least was unwilling to discuss that power. For civil libertarians, the answer should be easy. Of course I do not have the power under the Constitution. But what about spying on Americans? Mueller participated in one of the greatest expansions of mass surveillance in human history. As we noted in 2013, the NBC News reports, NBC News had learned that under post-9/11 Patriot Act, you know, that one that was shoved through and written before 9/11 even happened, the government had been collecting records on every phone call made in the United States. On March of 2011, FBI Director Robert Mueller told the Senate Judiciary Committee, "We put in place technological improvements relating to the capabilities of a database to pull together past emails and future ones as they come in so that it does not require an individualized search." Now remember, the FBI, unlike the CIA, deals with internal matters within the borders of the United States. On May 1st of this year, former FBI agent Tim Clemente told CNN's Aaron Burnett that all present and past phone calls were recorded. According to Burnett, Tim, is there any way, obviously, there is a voicemail they can try to get the phone companies to give that up at this point? It's not a voicemail. It's just a conversation. There's no way they actually can find out what happened, right? Unless she tells them. Clemente, no, there is a way. We certainly have ways in national security investigation to find out exactly what was said in a conversation. It's not necessarily something that the FBI is going to want to present in court, of course, but it may help lead the investigation and or lead to questioning of her. We certainly can find that out. Back to Burnett. So they can actually get that. People are saying, look, that is incredible. And Clemente responds, no. Get this, folks. Welcome to America. All of that stuff is being captured as we speak, whether we know it or like it or not. The next day, Clemente again appeared on CNN, this time with host Carol Costello, and she asked him about those remarks. He reiterated what he said the night before, but added expressly that all digital communications in the past are recorded and stored. NSA whistleblowers say that this means that the NSA collects word for word all of our communications. FBI Special Agent and a 2002 Time Person of the Year, Colleen Rowley, writes, Mueller's FBI was also severely criticized by Department of Justice Inspector Generals, finding the FBI overstepped the improperly serving hundreds of thousands of national security letters to obtain private and irrelevant metadata on citizens and for infiltrating nonviolent anti-war groups under the guise of investigating terrorism. This is back in 2002, folks. You know, I had an interesting thing happen to me. A thing happened while I was back east. Didn't happen to me. Happened to my son. My son was sitting relatively close to his computer. Also, had his cell phone not too far away. He was talking to his wife, and I overheard the conversation, regarding a purchase that they were pondering making, and they were discussing whether they should make it or not, and if so, what caliber it should be, or expensive or non-expensive it should be. And to his surprise and amazement and outright shock, within 30 minutes of that conversation, there were advertisements popping up on his internet screen about the exact same thing that they were discussing. Now, did this come from his phone? Was the computer listening? I don't know. But when, what's her name? Gosh, it slips my mind. Donald Trump's campaign advisor during the campaign, Kellyanne Conway. When she came on mainstream media, has talked about that the microwave's listening to you, the refrigerator's listening to you, the computer's listening to you, the phone's listening to you, and they all laughed at her. She wasn't wrong, folks. But let's get back to this. Torture. FBI Special Agent Colleen Rowley pointed out that Robert Mueller was even okay with the CIA conducting torture programs after his own agents warned against participation. Agents were simply instructed not to document such torture, and any war crime files were made to disappear. Not only did collect-it-all surveillance and torture programs continue, but Robert Mueller and then Comey's FBI later worked to prosecute NSA and CIA whistleblowers who revealed these illegalities. But let's not stop there. Let's go to the Iraq War. Colleen Rowley again notes, when you had the lead-up to the Iraq War, Mueller and, of course, the CIA and all the other directors saluted smartly and went along with what George Bush wanted, which was to gin up the intelligence. And remember, tomorrow night I'm going to have Susan Lindauer on the program. She was a victim in all of this. Anyway, it was a gin up for the intelligence to make a pretext for the Iraq War. You know, the one where they trumped up these charges on Susan Lindauer and threw her in Carswell prison for 9 months, tried to give her a psychological lobotomy with Haldol, a rhinoceros medication. Remember that, folks? For instance, in the case of the FBI, they actually had a receipt and other documentary proof that one of the hijackers, Mohammed Atta, had not been in Prague as Dick Cheney was alleging. And yet, those directors, more or less, well, kept quiet. That included the CIA, the FBI, Robert Mueller, and it included also the Deputy Attorney General at the time. Guess who, folks? James the Fixer Comey. But let's not stop there. Let's go to the post-9/11 roundup. FBI agent Rowley also notes that beyond ignoring politicized intelligence, Mueller bent to other political pressure. In the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks, now, I hear the music. Guess I'll have to stop there. I'll start that over again when we get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, at the network. See you on the other side, folks.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, folks, we're back with The American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Yes, but let's not stop there. Criminals investigating criminals. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. Neither am I, though. The post-9/11 roundup, FBI Special Agent Rowley also noted that beyond ignoring the politicized intelligence, Mueller bent to other political pressures. In the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks, Mueller directed the post-9/11 roundup of about 1,000 immigrants, who mostly happened to be in the wrong place, New York City, at the wrong time, FBI headquarters encouraged more and more detentions for what seemed to be essentially PR purposes. The field officers were required to report daily the number of detentions in order to supply grist for FBI press releases about FBI progress in fighting terrorism. Consequently, some of the detainees were brutalized and jailed for up to a year, despite the fact that none of them turned out to be terrorists. And of course, then we had the 9/11 cover-up, as Colleen Rowley points out. The FBI and all the other officials claimed that there were no clues. They had no warning about 9/11. And that was not the case, folks. There had been all kinds of memos and intelligence coming in. I actually had a chance to meet Director Mueller personally the night before I testified to the Senate Judiciary Committee, said Rowley. He was trying to get on his side, on the FBI side, so that he wouldn't say anything terribly embarrassing. But overwhelming evidence shows that 9/11 was foreseeable, and indeed, Al-Qaeda crashing planes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon was itself foreseeable. Even the chair of the 9/11 Commission said that the attack was preventable. Colleen Rowley also said that Time magazine would probably have not called my own disclosures a bombshell memo to the Joint Intelligence Committee inquiry in May of 2002 if it had not been for Mueller's having so misled everyone after 9/11. Remember, this is the guy that Rod, what's his name? Rod Bernstein or whoever he was. I can't even remember now. I've been out of the loop for 2 weeks, folks. You forget quick. Appointed Mueller to investigate the Russian hacking. This is the guy. In addition, Colleen Rowley says that the FBI sent Soviet-style minders to her interviews with the Joint Intelligence Committee investigating 9/11 to make sure that she didn't say anything the FBI didn't like. The chairs of both the 9/11 Commission and the official congressional inquiry into 9/11 confirmed that government minders obstructed the investigation into 9/11 by intimidating witnesses. Mueller's FBI also obstructed the 9/11 investigation in many other ways. For example, an FBI informant hosted and rented a room of the two hijackers in 2000. Specifically, investigators for the Congressional Joint Inquiry discovered that an FBI informant had hosted and even rented a room to the two hijackers in 2000, and that when the inquiry sought to interview the informant, the FBI refused outright and then hid him in an unknown location. This is our FBI, folks. This is the epitome of justice in this country. Top of the hour coming up. We'll be back and I'll open the phone lines. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. See you on the other side.
There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, cause I'm mad.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. Angioprim. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.